Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Kabaza, and for today, we are talking about the state of advertising in South Africa, and we're going to be talking about, you know, where does it fall, you know, in the landscape of business, because new businesses are constantly trying to get their messages out there. At the same time, you have, you know, older established businesses that are also trying to remain relevant and top of mind for, you know, their various target markets, and but at the same time, businesses have been going through the most because of COVID-19, because of the pandemic, and we usually hear that marketing and advertising budgets are one of the first places that people tend to cut, you know, when it comes to trying to, you know, tighten up their belt. So for today, just to unpack, you know, where the advertising industry sits, we are joined by Zibusiso Mkhwanazi, who is the Group CEO of Avatar Agency Group, and we're going to be talking to him just around how business has been, you know, on their end. I remember I actually encountered Zibusiso for the first time a couple of years ago when I was starting out at the Sunday Times. I remember he was one of the first people that gave me a lay of the land when it came to digital, you know, what digital advertising was looking like, you know, a couple of years ago. And, you know, since then, it seems that the agency has been growing. So I just wanted, you know, to catch up and just get a sense of what's going on. Zibusiso, greetings to you today.
Hi, Mudio. How are you doing?
No. We are doing all right on this end, you know, doing everything that we can just to keep productive, producing content, writing the best that we can. But maybe as a point of departure, maybe you can give us some insight when we talk about, you know, Avatar. Maybe you can give us a little bit of the backstory, you know, around that, how it came about, you know, so that, you know, anyone who's listening can get a sense of, you know, the context from which, you know, you're coming from.
Okay, great. So just a little bit, Avatar is 9 years old. It is the largest fully black-owned agency group in South Africa. It comprises of about 7 agencies inside the group, with offices in Johannesburg, Cape Town, as well as Durban. We deal with the biggest blue chip brands in the country, you know, doing everything from mainstream advertising, public relations, media, even to specialist businesses like B2B focused advertising agencies, you know, youth focused advertising business. So we sit in the value chain of advertising, you know, and we're trying to grow more in that value chain every day.
Now that we have an understanding of what the business is, you guys are the biggest, you know, agency group and all that. What would you say, you know, to someone who then asks, you know, something, or who said something like, you know, are agencies even necessary at this at this point in time, simply because, you know, there seems to be a lot of disintermediation that, you know, technology, for example, has brought about a lot of influencer marketing, for example, a lot of companies coming up with their own, you know, digital marketing agencies or, you know, divisions, etc. You know, where do you see, you know, that particular space? What would you say to someone who even questions why agencies are still around in 2021?
So agencies, you know, we'll still have a very long future in South Africa and around the world. And I'll tell you why, for a few reasons, right? One, yeah, you could go influencer marketing, you know, but the thing is, you still need a strategy behind the influencer marketing. And you still need a person that's going to say, this is how you can creatively use that influencer to achieve X, Y, and Z objective, right? So, influencers are great, but it's not all influencers that are creative at content. So their content, you know, will also at times need to be curated, what they need to say, when they need to say, when are the right audiences online. And agencies do that job. You know, it's like the analogy of being able to lay bricks. You know, if you're able to lay bricks, it's great. You know, you can lay bricks, but does that make you a contractor? You know, there's more that goes into actually completing a house than the ability just to lay the bricks, right? So that's one part of why agencies are important, even in today's world. Now, another part is that within an agency, you've got diverse skills that are sitting in that agency. So let's say you're a brand and you decide, look, I'm going to pull in my marketing internally. Okay, which is great to do. It will definitely result in some cost savings, right? But then you have to then balance that with what you're giving up, right? Because once you pull in, you know, your advertising internally, the one thing I know about creatives, right, is that, you know, they are creative in their nature, in their being. They like to be stimulated. So if they are constantly working on one brand, they wake up, they go to work on one brand, come back home, go back and work on the same brand, yeah, they're not going to last very long, right? They need to be stimulated. They can't be doing the stuff that we think is interesting. Sometimes, you know, they want to do, you know, like work on advertising on movies or games or something that will stimulate their creativity, et cetera, et cetera. Now, this is the balance. These are things we do in advertising agencies because we've got whole diversity of clients. So when one creative gets bored on one client, you swap them around into another. You can't do that in the private sector. So eventually what will happen is the work will get more and more stale, you know, as time progresses. And it's going to just end up being as good as a till slip.
And, you know, given everything that you've just spoken about, the flexibility, the creatives, the, you know, the fact that you guys are doing a lot of this strategy work, you know, we spoke about it in the beginning, you know, to say that those budgets, you know, from, you know, especially larger companies, businesses, etc., advertising tends to be one of the first things that tends to be cut when businesses are trying to tighten themselves up, which is the mode that a lot of companies took over the pandemic period, you know. So for that, you know, there's two things that I'm curious about on that end. Firstly, was that the actual reality on the ground, right? Or is that sort of like a perception thing that we have? And then secondly, tied to that, you know, is this not the time for companies to be getting their message out as much as possible?
Yeah, yeah. You know, the reality on the ground depends on which type of agency you come from. Right. So from a client perspective, there's definitely a cut, you know, from a budget perspective. I mean, in times of uncertainty, people tend to pull back their spend, right? It's economics, you know, and we as agencies also feel that pinch, right? But, you know, where you see the bigger cuts is in media, whereas, you know, they'll say, no, let's not run a media campaign anymore. I mean, in the time of, let's say when the unrest was happening, you know, you saw further cuts over and above the COVID cuts, right? Because some brands felt we don't think we should be advertising right now, especially in the retail space, right? So whenever there's a lot of uncertainty, you do see cuts in advertising. But now here's the interesting thing, you know, and these cuts are mainly media, but on the digital side, it might be a little bit of a different story because you can't just decide, okay, guys, we're going to switch off Facebook now, or you're going to switch off our Twitter presence. It needs to carry on, you know. So from a content perspective, that carries on. That is ongoing. That doesn't stop. So it's certain types of media that is affected more than other types of media, in times of uncertainty. And my view is that, you know, in times of uncertainty, that's when you should be spending. You know, if you want to be really competitive out there, that's when you should be spending. Because if everyone is out and everyone pulls back, right, let's say due to uncertainty around COVID or whatever the case might be, that's when you put in your money because your ad space is the cheapest at that point because you've got the least amount of demand, one, right? And because there's nobody there, you get it for next to nothing, and you're the only brand amongst your competitors that's actually out there. And that's why personally, I think, you know, the first instinct of cutting might not be the best one, but you know, the conversation that should be going on should be, how do we gain the most amount of efficiency with what we have?
I'm curious about something that you said just now, specifically where you said, there'll be cuts in certain types of media, right? And I'm guessing that you've got a split between the traditional side and the digital side. And so my question then becomes, are we saying that companies view digital as something that exists separate from the traditional media, or that is detached from reality in some way, that as a brand, you know, we can't be running the radio ad or the TV ad, but it's fine if it's on Facebook or Twitter type of thing? Like, is there like that disjointness that's there? Like, what's the reason for that?
Well, it's all about audiences, you know, because the world of media is all about reaching certain audiences, and it's about finding where those audiences are, right? And from a media perspective, you know, different media types reach different audiences. So let's take COVID as an example, right? So because of COVID, more people are at home. And because more people are at home, more people are on their cell phones, right? And because digital is largely a mobile first, tech rather than on your computer, you've got more people using their mobile phones versus, you know, their desktops or laptops, right? And by nature, you see a large spike in mobile usage because people are at home. They're no longer, you know, in meetings all day, et cetera, et cetera. No other on Teams. They're checking, you know, things on the side behind those black screens, as an example, right? So that's one factor. And again, because they're at home, they tend to watch more TV, you know, so your spend on TV, you know, despite COVID, you'll find that your spend on TV has stayed relatively strong, right? Because that's where the audiences are. They're sitting around mobile phones. They're sitting around TVs. But, you know, it's got a different type of effect on an out-of-home example, because if more people are at home, well, that means they're driving less, you know. So what does that mean for street poles, for billboards? You know, we spoke about cinema advertising a little bit earlier, you know, that then people are not going to the cinemas as much, you know. So there's a shift in audiences, you know, and that's where your distinguishing factor is. It's where is our key audience? Where are they sitting? And that's how you then make a decision around where to spend your budget.
Okay. No, it makes sense. It definitely makes sense when you put it like that. And I guess that maybe helps us to maybe zoom in a little bit, on, you know, that breakdown between, the different mediums that are there. Because I guess the question is more, how have the trends developed over, you know, the COVID period? Because even before lockdown, we were saying that print is on a decline. You know, they say that radio is resilient. They say that TV is resilient. They say that billboards and stuff were said to be, you know, a resilient medium, and that digital was just eating everyone else's lunch.
Yeah.
You know, so when it comes to the mix, and also, I guess, your engagements with, let's talk about the mix first.
Okay. I would say, and if we talk about digital as a channel, there was a stat that I read once that, digital will surpass TV by 2023 in advertising spend. Now, you know, if someone said this 5 years ago, it would never happen, right? But it's our reality. And that's because COVID has also accelerated this, right? Because of the big shift, you know, very quickly in audiences. You know, one of our clients is the South African Revenue Services. You know, we do all the advertising, and I hope everyone pays their tax, their fair share. the interesting mix that we've seen, there's more people e-filing by far, you know, up to 20% more, right, that are now using digital channels, you know, to submit their tax. You see, and again, it's a shift in audience into those platforms. You've got older people as well who traditionally would not watch YouTube, right, watching YouTube. And one of those older people includes my 72-year-old mother, who's discovered YouTube as a result of church being closed. And now she's sitting at home on Sundays. She's never had the time, you know, to discover technology, right? Because of people's free time, they're more in discovery mode. And the ages of people is also shifting, right? But what's very interesting in this usage mix is the type of communication that's going out there. Whereas before, it was all about just the TV ad or the whatever communication message. Now you're seeing more curated content, right? I think you touched earlier about TikTok, right? You're seeing more curated content, user generated content, more than just the comms content. So it's brands weaving themselves in the natural behaviors of what people tend to watch, right? So it's no longer just the 30-second, hey guys, buy this product, et cetera, et cetera. But it's actually things are now integrated in storylines of influencer videos on YouTube. You know, there's more and more of that going on, you know, in terms of, you know, the new way of communicating, you know, with audiences within this mix, you know, but across your other channels, it's largely still the same in terms of what is communicated, you know, but what you are seeing in terms of, you know, the messaging is advertising is shifting more to the heart, you know, because a lot of people right now are in dire financial straits, you know, so even advertising is starting to become a little bit more sensitive to those facts as well. And the messages are shifting a bit.
And I guess following on from that then, when you talk to clients, right, what are clients saying? Like, where do they want to be? Because, you know, just talking from, you know, our perspective, right, as a business writer myself, right, you sort of get the sense that I'm sort of shifting over more towards a public relations to make my point here. You sort of see that, you know, from a corporate public relations point of view, right, there's still, you know, that thing where we give credence to have messaging, let's say an article in a newspaper, right? As opposed to, let's say, an article, you know, on a website, right? The same article, but one is on a website, but the other one is in the physical paper. Yet the one online is probably going to get more readership than, you know, the newspaper one. Do you sort of see, you know, perhaps the same trend on the side of advertising where people still hold credence to certain mediums to say, okay, yes, Zibuziso, you are doing things because you have run a successful campaign, you know, on radio or on TV, but maybe not so much holding into regard your digital, yet digital is where everyone is. How are those conversations happening?
I hear you. Look, if we start talking public relations in particular, you know, there is one very big reality is that if I were to put out an ad saying that I'm the greatest person in the world, right? That's me saying that. No one curated that. I just bought space and I said I'm the greatest person in the world. But if you were to write an article as Mudira at Business Day and you said, this guy is the greatest person in the world, a heck of a lot more people are going to believe that narrative versus the one that I generated myself. So the place of public relations and newspapers will always be there in the advertising mix. Because yes, you can put out ads, but the thing about advertising, you know, the very creative, strategic, etc., but PR adds a layer of authenticity that you can't buy for any amount of money, right? And that's the important role. Advertising, interestingly enough, advertising in print, we know circulation is declining, right? But there's just something authentic as well about a print publication, right? It has a certain authenticity, you know, in a world where we are filled with fake news from digital platforms, right? And, you know, print is, you know, in my mind is still a very trusted medium versus a digital platform, right? Because not everyone knows how to sift, you know, fake from real, you know, and clearly, because if you look at, you know, the vaccine hesitancy that we're seeing, okay, there's other factors too, yes, at play, you know, but fake news definitely has a factor in there, right? And this is all digital communications gone wrong. Now, with print, it still holds a certain level of authenticity. But as authentic as it is, the question is, you know, does it bring the advertisers? You know, and the not so great answer is, you know, ultimately, you know, brands are looking at how many people are reading it.
It makes sense, you know, it makes sense when you put it like that, especially, the way that you articulated the authenticity point, that it's better if someone else says you're awesome as opposed to you yourself saying saying that you're awesome. And I guess following on from there then, how have you seen, I guess, the evolution of your role as an agency, right? Do you guys sort of still be brought in just for a project, or has advertising sort of become strategic, where you have to go in there, actually understand the entire business process, you know, so that you can actually communicate it effectively?
Yeah. You know, it's very interesting, in that, you know, back in the day, you know, with advertising, you're more of a supplier. Okay, guys, we need a brochure, call the advertising agency, and the agency produces a brochure and off they go, right? And then it evolved into where you become a partner. You know, you have a once a week engagement with client, around their business, number of campaigns they're doing, whatever the case might be. But today it's very interesting in that we are more entrenched in our clients' businesses more than ever before, right? So we literally form the extension of the CEO's office, right, as well as the marketing department. We literally are now in probably engagements every single day with almost all our clients, right, because the agency has now become such an integral part of doing business. You know, tech changes every day. You know, new challenges arise every day. Things are moving faster than ever before. Who knew that so many businesses could digitally transform over a period of a few days, you know, when they've been planning it over a few years, right? So the pace at which change is happening now demands that creative thinkers are now part of business, solving business problem. Because the challenge with a lot of businesses is that, yes, they may be good at producing products, right, which is great, but the creative thinking behind those products, now I'm not just talking about advertising anymore, but the creativity around how you take that product to market, right, and how you measure the performance of that product and the decisions that you make against that product requires a level of creativity that, you know, not all accountants have, you know, and that's why now we are now starting to be closer in spaces that we wouldn't have been before.
And when it comes to, I guess, that mix, because some companies do a lot of stuff internally, right? I'm just returning to the early example that you gave, that a lot of creatives become miserable if all they're doing is, you know, just that one, you know, that one brand, that one, you know, they, you know, just their creativity, it might stifle them, right? At what point, you know, from what you've seen, does a company decide, okay, we're going to have an agency versus those companies that decide that they're going to do everything in-house? I remember a couple of months ago, we actually had the head of Nando's marketing on this platform, and Nando's is famous for its marketing, and they do they do a lot of stuff. It was Doug, and we had they do a lot of stuff in-house, you know, whereas other companies decide that, no, this is not a core focus for us. We are going to, you know, bring in, you know, that outside help. This is not a core competency, etc. But if they wanted to, a lot of companies could just invest and, you know, create their own in-house department. So at what point does it become necessary for a company to seek someone like Zibuzis and say, we need you to come in and help us?
Yeah. Look, it's different strokes for different folks. You know, there are businesses that can do internal advertising very well, especially if your type of advertising is more just price driven. You know, today the price of X is now 20 Rand and that's it. You know, all you need is just, you know, pretty colors and your price point, you know. So that type of price point advertising is very easy to do in-house because it rolls out quickly. You know, you need to get into a paper, whatever the case might be. It makes sense. Now, but what we tend to experience is that even some brands, very, very big retail brands, who've got internal studios, they struggle with the one thing we do well. Creativity. So what they will do.
Yeah.
So what they will do, they'll kind of go, okay, guys, come in and work with our studio, right? So we then bring our strategists, we then bring our creators and we solve the problems, right? We solve the campaign and what their internal studios do is internal rollout because good creatives don't want to work for internal studios. The best ones, from my experience, you will not necessarily find in internal studios. So they come in at that point in time. Then you get another type of client. Example, you mentioned Nando's, right? Nando's has got agencies running their digital. They've got agencies running their advertising campaigns, et cetera, et cetera. You know, what their studio probably does without knowing the details is probably maybe their menus, et cetera, that type of communication that is not as creative in nature. But ultimately, you want your message to be out there. You want to resonate with your target market. You want people to move to take an action, right? And all of that requires very, very specific skills in particular. And that's what we bring as agencies, right? And those individuals, are trained, you know, on what's going on globally, the latest this, the latest that, you know, they're constantly on the pulse, you know, it's very hard to maintain all of that in an internal studio. And that's why, I say internal studios are good if it's just price point advertising, but if you want to really resonate with your audiences, you need an agency.
You need an agency. Okay. That makes sense. And especially, you know, that part that you said, that for the run of the mill sort of thing, you can sort of do it internally, but you know, on that creative side, are you able to share with us? I think you mentioned earlier on that SARS is a client. Are you able to share, you know, any other clients that you guys have?
Okay, cool. I think I'll share one recent one that we're really, really excited about. About 2-3 months ago, we are appointed as a Techno's global brand agency, right? So Techno is basically amongst the top 10 largest smartphone makers in the world and the number one smartphone maker in Africa in particular in terms of sales, right? Although we don't know them here in South Africa, but they are massive in East and West Africa. Now for the first time, they've appointed an African-owned agency, you know, so we went up against agencies based in Europe and Asia, the best of Europe and Asian multinational agencies for us to win this piece of business. And we now represent them on 4 continents. And all that work that is done globally for them is now comes from South Africa, you know, and we're super proud of that. And we just launched their brand campaign very recently, in fact. You know, and, you know, we've done work in, or we do work in retail rather. Edgar's in our Durban office handles that piece of business. There's Old Mutual in insurance. There's a whole host of businesses, including Nokia up here in our, in our Joburg office.
When it comes to, I guess, deal flow in the corporate space, do you find yourselves getting, all of a client's business, or do you get into specific campaigns? Like, let's say Nokia has just resurrected, the 6310 or 3310, and then they say we want an agency just for this, or do they usually bring an agency in to do like everything?
So I'll talk from a generic perspective and an avatar perspective. You know, a lot of the time a client will say, we are looking for an agency to help us with PR or to help us with, creative advertising or media, whatever the case might be. Right. And that's normally how it goes. And at times you'll have three or four different agencies sitting around the table. The problem with that model, it's great. Right. But the problem with it is, because what we do is so closely aligned, let's think about influencers, right? Is it a form of PR or is it a form of digital? Yeah. As an example, right there, you've got a conflict amongst those agencies. Who does what around the table? You look at above the line agencies and below the line agencies. Both of them produce creativity. Both of them, you know, have strategists and studios, et cetera, et cetera. You have lots and lots of conflict, you know.
When we say above, just for the ones that don't understand, above the line, below the line.
So in a simplistic form, is above the line is what you will see public. What will go on media platforms, right? So if it goes on radio, on TV, any form of media, out of home, whatever the case might be, that is above the line advertising. Below the line is where it doesn't go on media. So it could be a poster in an office, could be an emailer, you know, so it there's no media channels carrying it. And that is, in simple terms, your below the line advertising. All of, you know, so there's all these things that are so close to each other, you know, where it's very difficult in such an environment to get a cohesive product out, right? So that's why businesses like Avatar exist, where we've got multiple specialist agencies. So we're not a generalist, but we are a specialist, right? So that's why we will come into a piece of business. So I was talking about techno earlier on. So we came into that piece of business that we're looking for brand in particular. Do our global brand for us, right? And help turn around, you know, and not necessarily turn around, but reposition this brand in this way. Now, it started off there, and then the conversation increased to include public relations. It then increased to include media. It then increased to include digital and social, you know, and that's because the client is seeing the value of not having lots of people at each other's throats a lot of the time. They're seeing the value of working with specialist businesses, but that actually get along. Yeah. And in our business, that's what we find. We'll get hired for one thing, right? But we'll start growing into other things, you know, because we can provide the value and proof points and cost savings of such a model.
Okay. Now it makes sense, and especially the growing into a business, because usually the moment you prove yourself in one area, people are usually more willing to at least give a little bit more leeway, especially if along the way you're able to add value and actually, you know, share your insights, you know, on certain things. People are like, but actually, you know, we could actually get these people to work on that other thing.
That's how it always happens.
So as we come to the end of the discussion, Sibusi, so I could actually talk about this for a long time. I'm an economist, but this world, it's fascinating to me. If someone is either starting an agency or someone is a young person trying to get into the industry, right? Is it, especially at these entry level, you know, sort of levels, is it worth it to specialize, you know, either in PR, in advertising, in marketing, or to be an all rounder?
Yeah. So let me tell you something very interesting. So I come from an IT background, right?
Okay.
So that's why me and you can get along very well. I come from IT, which then transitioned into web development, which then transitioned into digital advertising, and then it transitioned into actual advertising. And what I can say is you just need to be really successful in this industry. You just need to really have an open mind and be open to learning new things. You never stop learning in this industry. In fact, even till today, I feel like I don't know anything, because I'm constantly learning about stuff that I didn't know. Are qualifications necessary? They're a good jump. But not necessarily the end of the world. I mean, you could find really good tutorials, let's say on Google, where you could learn about AdWord advertising. And that's a great entryway into, let's say, digital in particular. And other things you learn along the way, as you go with experience, you learn other things. Schools are great, you know, depending what you want to do. You know, if you want to go into copywriting, as an example, there's great courses out there. Or you want to go into strategy, there's great courses out there. They're great leaps, right? But they're not the end of the world, because you can start out in this industry. You can start out as a copywriter and end up as a strategist, or start out as a PR writer, you know, and end up as a campaign manager for digital advertising. It is so fluid, and you learn so many different things, and you discover your love along the way.
All right. You discover your love along the way, you know, just, you know, get your feet wet. That was us with Zibuzi. So Mkhwanazi, who is the group CEO at Avatar, giving us some insight into the lay of the land when it comes to advertising at the moment in South Africa. He was articulating to us that COVID-19 did see a lot of businesses, you know, tightening up their budgets. They did feel that pinch, but he does argue that at a time when everyone is, you know, pulling back, especially, you know, their visibility, their messaging, you know, that also then creates an opportunity to be out there, to be heard, to be seen. And then also talking about the mix of, you know, radio, television, digital, all of these different channels. And he's saying that all of them have a place, and, you know, there is something to be said about platforms that are curated, because it's always better when someone else says that you're awesome versus when you say that you're awesome for yourself. And then just ending off talking about, you know, a career, what it means to be in the industry. And he's saying it's a fluid space. You don't necessarily have to go to school and say, I'm going to be an advertising executive. You can have a circuitous way into the industry. But as long as you stick to it and you're passionate, you can find, you know, your way around that. Zibuzi, so thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Mudir.
This is Mudir's Tech.
In his book, The 10X Rule, Grant Cardone says that the problem that a lot of people and businesses that are trying to operate at the quote-unquote the next level, or to reach their maximum potential, or, you know, go above and beyond where their current status is the problem of obscurity. If people don't know who you are and what you do, then they're not going to do business with you because they don't know who you are and what you do. And that is that is the place and purpose of advertising, you know, of marketing, of, you know, public relations, of getting your message out there. And I think a discussion like this is very important, because as much as we talk about, you know, the internal parts of businesses, the manufacturing, the products, the services that businesses are offering, one needs to actually get the message out there so that people can come and actually use their service or buy their goods, right? And The piece I agreed the most with, you know, what Zibuzizo was saying is that part to say, at a time when everyone else is pulling back at it advertising, that's probably the time when you should be doing, when you should be doing the most, especially if you are in a resilient sort of sector, or one that you can see, has potential to boom either during, that particular crisis or, you know, soon after that crisis, because, you know, it does create a bit of a void and there is that opportunity for you to just double down and continue. Going forward, it will be good to do a catch up, you know, with Zibuzizo, because there's so many facets of this whole thing that still need to be explored, especially around the, you know, what is digital advertising and, you know, the type of return on investment that companies and businesses are getting out of these mobile devices, these laptops, these TVs that we are in front of on a daily basis. But once again, getting your message out as a business, very important. If we don't know who you are and what you do, it will be very hard for us to do business with you. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.